the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Online at philhenryshow.com with our live-streaming video cast, and we're at TuneIn as well as a great many wonderful radio stations
across the country.
David G. Hall called up sputtering and spitting and something. I don't know what's wrong. David, how you doing?
Well, I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Well, you realize that story you read about the flamethrower, can I get that? What is that boogie music I'm listening to?
Turn the music down, bud. Go ahead.
You realize that story that you read about the flamethrower in Fargo, North Dakota, that's a gag.
A gag?
Yeah, it's from a satirical newspaper called the Fargo. So in other words, Mr. Satire just had it stuck up your giggy with a wah-wah brush.
What do you mean it's a gag?
It's a satirical news. I'm looking at it here. Fargo, Moorhead Observer, FM Observer, and it was written by, I guess these are articles that are written by people that contribute.
In other words, these people aren't even professionals. They're amateurs, and you clowns got sucked in.
Well, I don't know. It sounded like it,
Yeah, it sounded like it could work. Boy, I'll tell you something, man. You have sunk a long way. You used to be the guy that was the king of this stuff.
I still think it could have happened. All right.
No. It didn't happen. No guy busted out a flamethrower, okay? And you did all the research on where it's legal. You know something? I think you ought to just stick strictly to stuff that you know firsthand actually happened, which means anything from your life, Bud's life, Margaret's. In other words, don't go any far afield of that, because you can't be sure if it's real or not. You understand that, right?
Well,
No, not well. It didn't happen, and you guys need to stick to things only happening right there in your neck of the woods. Did you get out of bed this morning? Did you get out of bed this morning?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, then you can report on that. Now, weren't you going to do something on the weather? I'm going to have to sit here and listen to this, because...
Yeah, you want me to have you in the background, Mr. Hall, on hold?
No, you better not put me on hold. I need to listen throughout. I want to make sure that what Henry's talking about actually happened. Go ahead.
No, wait a minute. I got a radio show I'm doing here.
I know you got a radio show, and I'm going to listen to the radio show, and I'm going to just be very, very quiet here, listening to what you're saying. Go ahead.
I can hear the car rolling down the road.
Roll up the window, baby. Hey, baby, roll the window up here. Yeah, we're going to stop. God.
Oh, is it your girlfriend with you?
Yeah, my girlfriend with me.
Yes.
All right. Well, I was going to talk about the very hot weather.
Where?
Here at the beach that we live and work at.
Okay.
And it was very warm today.
Now, how do you know that? I know you were...
Are you going to be interrupting me?
Yeah, I'm interrupting you. Ever since you reported that a guy had a flamethrower in Fargo, yes, I'm interrupting you. Now, how do you know that it was hot? I know you felt that it was hot, but was it hot for everybody else?
Yes, because I looked at the temperature and it was 82 degrees.
Is that hot?
It's getting there.
It's getting there. Boy... All right.
Hey, David, just because...
Just because you guys come on, Mr. Satire, and you're reading something that's phony baloney and reporting on it like it's real, I shouldn't be here? Yes, I should. So 82 degrees is getting there. Go ahead.
Yeah, 82 degrees was getting there, and that's when I read the thing. So I got out of bed, and I decided to walk down to the beach.
Did anybody see you walking down to the beach?
David, this is ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous. Did anybody see you walking down to the beach?
I guess some of my neighbors did.
Okay, so you can verify it through them. Because I don't want you going on the air and saying you went down to the beach, only to have it turn out to be a satirical reference to a guy walking down to the beach. See what I'm saying? Because so many...
All right.
Get a call back.
I don't care if he calls back. So we read the story, and, what am I going to do?
Well, back on the phone.
What, David, look at me. You can't keep popping on here.
I want to keep popping on and telling you, did you or did you not go down to the sand? Yes, you did, because you have people that saw you down there. Now you're walking on the beach. What else happened?
I'm going to answer one more question, then I'm hanging up on you.
Well, wait a minute. I thought you were going to do the segment, and I was going to sit here.
Yeah, you're not just sitting there. You're asking me all kinds of questions.
Who got this story out of the Fargo Moorhead Observer?
We found it, okay?
You found it.
So I walked down to the sand, and I looked at the ocean.
You looked at the ocean. Now, you're sure the ocean's there, because...
That's it, man, okay?
Get a call back.
I don't care. That's it. I'm no more answering of any more questions from him. Am I sure the ocean was there?
Well, you sort of brought it on yourself.
I didn't bring anything on myself, okay? It was a very freewheeling basically what I wanted to talk about. I don't care. The snow is the snow, man. I was just talking about how hot it was here, man. I don't know why, but it's just been warm, that's all. And it was, you know, I walked out of the sleeping quarters this morning, and where it was a very nice and comfortable, cool and a beautiful environment. And I'm thinking, well, you know, we'll just kind of step now out into the day. You know how it is. You know, you open the bedroom door, swings open, and I come stepping out in my bathrobe or whatever the hell it was that I was wearing.
You've got that god-awful dark blue.
Well, yeah, you know.
So you're wearing a bathrobe?
Yes, you know.
Like a dressing gown.
A dressing gown, and I step out, and it's like hotter than hell all of a sudden. Now, I don't know how much longer this is, but I can go over to the old weather app, because last night at this time it was 73 degrees. I wonder if they're even changing this or not, or if this is just, they just decided to keep the same temperature for both nights. Last night at this time, I think it was around 73 degrees. It is now 57.
Oh, well, the temperature's dropped radically then.
Yes, it has. It has. It's 57 degrees. It is 9:12, so right now 57. It's going to get a load of this. What kind of world are we living in? It's going to go up to 63 degrees in an hour. What?
Well, there's obviously something going on with the environment.
Yeah, it's the global warming.
Global warming.
Well, it is called global warming. It was called global warming.
It's not called global warming. It's global climate change. It's going from 57 degrees now, and in 1 hour, it's going up to 63 degrees. I'm telling you, folks, right here at the coast of, right on the beach, and I'm at one of the colder spots on the California coast. In other words, you go down toward the southern beaches, the L.A. beaches in Orange County, it's warm. When you get up here around the Ventura County line, things start to cool off a lot. But here we are today. Tomorrow, it's going to be 81 degrees. Friday, 75 degrees, Saturday 73, then down to 72 by Monday. But in 1 hour, and it's 63, at 11 o'clock it'll be 63, at 12 midnight it'll be 63 degrees.
Well, when does it start to get cold or cool?
It starts to drop at 3 a.m. down to 59, and it'll be 57 degrees by 6 o'clock in the morning, and then the sun comes up and it starts warming up again. By 9 a.m. it'll be 70 degrees. It's a very unseasonably warm spell that we're having here. That's all there is to it. And it happens. And it's not the first time, like I said, it's happened in the state of California, in California, in my memory. Now, L.A. right now is 64, and I'll go over to D.C. where Nikki was as she was driving home last night. She said she was just enveloped in fog. It's 39 degrees, and it's going to be snowing at 2 a.m., Nikki, but there's no more fog. It's just cloudy, and it sucks.
Hey.
You got it. Beautiful, man. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with other news. And got a story here. Air Force nuke officers caught up in big cheating scandal. Well, that's nice. The guys that are running the whole shebang, I don't know whether they're running the whole thing or whether it's just, whether they're just running part of it. But, hey, the cats that have the nuclear weapons are cheating on their tests. So we got the guys that came in the lower third of the class, and they got the finger on the trigger. We'll find out. World famous Phil Henry Show. Hey, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Don Mixa, who is a professor of engineering in Seattle, has been on the faculty there of the University of Washington, is going to be with us here in a moment to talk about the nukes, the American nuclear program, and not really from the standpoint of we're not going to talk about it from the standpoint of the arsenal and the capacity and this kind of thing, but just from the standpoint of, you know, the relative danger, who's got the nukes and who doesn't, and who may use them and who won't, and what's the chances of a terrorist getting them, and so on. Don Mixa from Seattle. Don, how are you?
Thanks, Phil. I'm doing good.
And I can't hear you. If you can speak up.
I said, thanks, Phil. Doing very good this evening.
Don, the Air Force nuke officers caught up in a big cheating scandal. We don't have to get into the specifics of this, but how safe are the nuclear weapons of both the United States and the Russian Federation, if you will?
Now you see it, now you don't. You know, the nuclear arsenal of the United States is still the most formidable in the world, but there is every chance and every likelihood that you can get somebody in there that has, you know, overinflated qualifications. Perhaps they have gotten through the net of scrutiny and the discriminatory process that takes place when we are staffing these arsenals, and you get someone who's a rogue, you get someone that is a, you know, is a wild card, and the next thing you know, you got a shooting war. The Russians are in the same predicament. We recently were talking, I heard you talking about the Russian officer that kept World War III from breaking out back in 1984 when they thought they saw a series of missile launches from the United States. It turned out to be a computer malfunction. Well, the same thing can still happen, but not so much with computers. I think we've got people now that are walking on the edge. I think that they are very much a variable in the in this balancing act that they both sides are doing to try to keep us out of war.
You sound pretty, you know, even in the rather smooth and calm way you deliver this information, it sounds pretty dark and menacing.
Yes, it does, Don. This is Margaret Gray.
Yes, Margaret.
So when you talk about these rogue elements, individuals that are not quite mentally balanced or just politically highly motivated.
Well, I think you have both. If you look at it, but particularly here in the United States, we have a very, very volatile minority of individuals that simply cannot grasp the reality of the moment and are trying to manipulate and otherwise steer this country into a rather bizarre and strange course of operation for the country. You've got these far right wingers, for instance, like the Tea Party. I think the Tea Party is a producer of probably some of the most radically bent and potentially sick individuals that this country has seen in quite some time. You've got some Tea Party people that, if God help us, if they got into any position of power in the nuclear hierarchy of this country, and there'd be no question that these people with the very, very marginal grasp of reality that they have, and with their personalities fracturing every second of every day, you don't know what they're hearing, you don't know what they're seeing, and you don't know what voices are guiding them. They're bound to...
Let me interrupt you here. You're talking about the Tea Party filled with people who are hearing voices. In other words, actively psychotic.
Are you talking about individuals that are actively hallucinating, making their way into... the United States military and becoming in charge of the nuclear arsenal? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, in general, I'm not trying to say that this is an imminent threat. I'm saying that when you look at the cadre of individuals that the Tea Party has created over the years, you see these people as they, you know, they gather in their their wild clothing and their multicolored mandalas that they wield against the evil power of the U.S. government. I mean, you can very well see these people making their way as some kind of a freak army into the inner circles of the inner workings of the United States military. I'm just simply saying, whether they're Tea Party people or not, there's a risk of weird individuals who are answering the call of a voice that is far beyond anything that you or I can comprehend. It's some kind of direction that they're getting from a perhaps a world that you and I can barely understand.
Well, when you say a world, you're talking about someone that's nuts.
I'm trying to give you, Phil, the best possible view as I can possibly give you of what is going on out there. He asked me, well, who's going to make their way into the nuclear arsenal? who are some of the dangerous people that could get a hold of these weapons. I'm telling you that we have in this country today individuals who have pretty much decided that the direction of the country is the wrong one. They come from the Tea Party asylum. They come from the lunatic fringes of both the right and the left. They are dancing to the beat of a drummer that is playing in a dimension far beyond our own. They are hearing voices that are being activated and delivered to them by way of some kind of a metaphysical conduit that we can barely understand.
Well, hold on, Don. You're talking as if this exists.
I'm sorry, say it again.
You're talking as if these voices and this realm and this dimension and this metaphysical conduit exists.
Well, I'm not here to tell you that these people are crazy necessarily. I am here to tell you that these people are responding to stimuli and to reality that is not our own. Whether they're crazy or not, I'm not here to make that judgment. To be perfectly honest with you, I don't think that they are in the way that you and I understand crazy, which is the not knowing what is right or what is wrong. I think these people are very sane, but they are simply getting direction and guiding themselves and others using direction that they are getting from a dimensional field or a molecular reality that is beyond our own.
What are you saying here? Because it sounds, as Margaret said in the general, it sounds like you're buying into whatever world these people are hearing these voices from. I thought for a minute there you were going to tell us that they were nuts.
Yes, it sounded like you were talking about people that were psychotic, as Phil had indicated.
It's just not my judgment to make, General.
Well, do you believe that it's possible for individuals who live here in the United States of America are in a position making decisions in a position of control of the nuclear weapons of this country, who are hearing direction, as you say it, voices, as you say it, and are getting guidance, as you put it, from a dimension beyond our own, as you have just described it? I'm merely quoting back what you said.
Yes, and this sounds to me like people that are psychotic.
Margaret, they could very well be, but it's not my judgment to make. I'm not here...
Well, I'm going to interrupt and ask you this, point blank. If someone is getting directions from another dimension, do you think they're nuts?
I cannot say, Phil. I don't know. I don't know. Do you know? Do you know what constructs this reality? What constructs go into the reality that you and I are living? No, you don't.
So you think that it's possible there's somebody out there getting direction from, say, another planet?
I am not saying it's happening. If you're asking me, is it happening? I am not saying that. I'm saying we have to begin to build a defense, however rudimentary and however slipshod. It has to begin, and it has to begin yesterday, not tomorrow, not today, yesterday. Build a defense against an infiltration of entities directing humans on this planet or in this dimension or in this reality to proceed to nuclear arsenals, proceed to areas where weapons are stockpiled, and begin to manipulate America's strategic weapon strength to the benefit of these unknown carbon-based life forms, perhaps hydrogen-based life forms, but manipulating the weaponry nonetheless to the benefit of these life forms or entities or pre-human states that may be living in astral planes. I am not saying it's happening. I'm simply saying we have to at least consider the possibility.
All right. We're going to take a break. We have with us Don Mixa from Seattle, Washington, a professor of engineering, part-time, has worked at the University of Washington. I understand he's no longer there. And he's talking with us about, you can put Don on hold, and he's talking with us about America's nuclear arsenal and its the possible compromising of it by people working their way into the command structure of the U.S. military or whatever it is that...
Well, it is the military.
Okay, that controls the weapons. People that are getting their direction from I don't know.
Well, he's saying they're getting their direction from life forms living in other dimensions.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he said he didn't say it's happened, but maybe.
Look, let me just explain something. I ain't doing any coast-to-coast here. You understand? So if I think it's horse dung, I'm going to say it.
Well, hold on. There's nothing there to call him on. He said that he isn't saying that.
Yes, he didn't say that he is saying. I mean...
hold on. We'll be right back. We'll take a break. And let me just go ahead and flush out my headgear, new guy. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And on TuneIn, with your TuneIn app, check out the Phil Henry channel and get our show live every night, 7 to 10 Pacific time, from the El Pacifico, where it's been unseasonably warm. But I don't think there's anything having to do with aliens or any life form like that. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Boy, I'm having just the greatest conversation with Nikki off the air, you know. I'm just going to say this, and you guys can hate me for it.
Oh, Phil, no, don't go there. You are way off the beaten path.
No, I'm not way off the beaten path. No, I'm right on the beaten path, man. Hey, Don, you ought to hear this.
All right, I'm waiting.
Never in the history of this country have we been further away from the reality of a police state. And never in the history of this country have we been so stupid as to fear a police state as we do today. We are so far away from any possibility of a police state. The American people are so on guard against that kind of thing. The American people are so in need of their freedom. And as soon as they get their freedom, they get all whiny and cry about all of the ways they can be tracked. Oh, God, they can track my cell phone. Well, you wanted a cell phone so you could talk and text and do this and do that, didn't you? Well, yeah, but I didn't know that. Well, now, so all of a sudden, what are you worried about? Well, now they can just find out where I live. They could find out where your ass lived 30 years ago, Charlie. They could find out where your ass lived before they had all this NSA, Patriot Act, and everything else. Do you guys forget that we asked for this? That we wanted the Patriot Act? That we wanted the NSA looking over these records? That we wanted... You think Eric Snowden, or whatever this guy's name is telling you something that you didn't know? At least you should have known. There's no way that this country's... But here's the thing that we are in danger of. Absolute anarchy. Absolute, total, stupid, society splitting and tearing anarchy. We're right there. We're right on the edge of that. We're on the edge of every ass that you see on the street deciding he's going to go off in his direction because he just can't take it anymore because he's just so scared of what Big Brother's going to do. And Big Brother ain't doing anything. Big Brother didn't think about doing anything other than maybe holding on to the... And I know that there are people saying, well, you must be really stupid, Phil. No, I turn it back around on you and say you're stupid. I say that you are not only... you're so stupid that you don't see the forest for the little trees that you're analyzing. And the forest, the grand scheme of this thing is, yeah, there's all kinds of technology, all kinds of ways of communicating, all kinds of way of storing information. There's all kinds of. And you use it. And it's been there. And it's been made available to us. And no Big Brother forced you into that. So people say to me, yeah, but now we have the opportunity. They have the opportunity to track our asses because look at this big web that's suddenly been created and now everybody knows everything. When did they ever not know where you lived? When did they ever not know who you were? When did they ever not? And for a country full of people that are frightened of this stuff, we willingly jump into it. Every day our asses are on Facebook. Every damn day we're there on Twitter. Every damn day we're using the same phone that we're afraid the NSA is going to do this, that, and something else. Every day we are willingly swimming in this terrible, terrible lagoon full of crocodiles and sharks and everything else.
All right, are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Yay! Hey, Mr. Eddie! Woo!
Nice speech. But it won't cut it, Phil, and I'll tell you why.
No, I'm not going to have a discussion about it.
Oh, you're not going to have a discussion about it?
No, I'm not going to have a discussion about it, because I'm sick of talking about this, because all it does is get me more angry and more perturbed, because I'm talking to people that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. I'm not going to talk about this.
So I don't even get...
No, you don't.
Well, Phil...
No, neither do you. I'll talk to Dawn.
I'll talk to Don about it. And Don, through Don, you guys can hear your opinions. Because I take it, Don, you believe that we're right on the verge of a dictatorship.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to tell you? The diatribe that you just jumped into there, and there's so much that's wrong with what you just said. I mean, first of all, you're saying that as people, the American people are willing to be subjugated. I don't think I've ever seen a people less willing.
Well, then why are we jumping into the cell phone, Facebook, social media, multi-platform, that every single day we willingly immerse ourselves in this toxin that we say is about ready to do us in?
Because we have no choice.
We have no choice.
No, we have to. It's the way that we communicate.
It's the way that we text. It's the way that we sext. It's the way that we send pictures of our penises. Is that what you're talking about?
No, Phil, you're talking about a minority of people. We have no choice.
We have no choice.
Can I finish saying what I'm saying?
Phil, let him finish.
Go ahead.
We have to do what we have to do to survive. We have to use the cell phones. We have to use the computers. We have to use in many instances, we do have to use social media, not because we're necessarily sending a message to our girlfriend, but because in your case, for instance, Phil, you use it to promote your radio show and so forth. And there are other businesses that use social media in much the same way. So we've gotten to a point where we really don't have a choice. We live in a world now where we can be tracked and we can be pretty well pinpointed no matter where.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. I don't know whether you or anybody you know watches this Investigation Discovery. I'm always talking about this ID.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Now, they have a show in there called Disappeared. Have you heard about this show, Disappeared?
Well, I've seen it, and I think you're going to tell me there's people disappearing all the time.
People disappearing all the time. People disappearing all the time. They can't find them. They don't know where they are. They got cell phones. They got cell towers. They got computers. They got email. They got the last websites these people miss. They can't find them. Okay?
Well, in a lot of instances, Phil, those people have been killed. You know as well as I do that most likely there's been a homicide.
Okay, and that would, as far as I could tell, that would be the easiest thing to track. If you know that an individual is gone, they're off the grid, let's say, and the likelihood, therefore, is that they are dead, you have to assume they're dead because you can't find them, right?
Well, yes.
Then why can't you find them dead? If we can track people so well that we know exactly where the last phone call was, we know exactly where the last email was, we know exactly where the last website was that they tracked, we know exactly where the last GPS spotting of these people were. Well, you know pretty well, therefore, the last place they were alive. And because their existence ended there. And you can probably pick up who they were with. I mean, you're talking about a country and an informational and tracking web that has been constructed in this country where no one is safe. Everybody is tracked. Everybody is seen. It's Fahrenheit 451 or whatever the hell it was, you know.
Well, it's Fahrenheit 4, yeah, you're talking about the Ray Bradbury book, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was a society where they had helicopters, okay? That's how they were tracking people. But today, so that was a society that was probably on another planet.
No, that was Earth.
In the book by Ray Bradbury, Fahrenheit 451?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't look like Earth because it's a society where they only have helicopters. They've got helicopters and televisions. That's all they have.
Yes, but he's talking about tracking people. I don't think it was supposed to be literal.
Yeah, it's not literal. It's just the informational. It's the way people come together to track each other.
Right, but that society that Phil's talking about in Fahrenheit 451 is a very primitive society because all they've got are big TVs and helicopters. You listen to me? Whereas here, we have far more that we can track people with, so I don't know why you brought up Fahrenheit 451.
All right, so it's a primitive society, but the fact is that it's a society where a person's movements are followed and tracked All right, 1984. That's a world that didn't exist either, or doesn't exist.
Well, I, you know, it's about to exist, though, because we are about to be enslaved by a government that has very carefully tracked all of our dollars, all of our, where we are, and where our people, our family members are, and where our money is, probably where we've stored a lot of our money. So they're just now finalizing. I would think that if the government was planning on doing this, they're just now finalizing where all the money is, where everyone, the humans are, and we can, and they then can drop the net. We're herded into concentration camps, or whatever you want to call them, and all of the wealth is then siphoned into a large repository, and then we are slaves in camps and fed only, what they think we should eat. And meanwhile, they're... You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're saying. No, I don't. There's nothing that you just said that is of any... that even remotely smacks of reality.
Well, all right, I'll give you another scenario then.
Go ahead.
Boy, I want to ask Margaret and General Shaw, so you got to put up with this ass every night, huh?
Yeah, pretty much every night. Wait, why am I an ass?
Well, because you're the stuff you're saying is, first of all, Phil, you're saying that's impossible.
What you just said to me, which was that the government will spring the net, they'll drop it on us, put us into concentration camps, siphon off all the wealth, and then it's just a great world for a handful of people as the rest of us are slave laborers. I'm telling you, that is the most unwieldy and unworkable and ridiculous scenario I've ever heard in my life. First of all, what are they going to use us for, man? Are they going to kill us? I mean, I guess they'll have to have a genocide because it's going to be far too many people for the stuff that they'll need. All they need is to have us, you know, work a few hours a day to keep, what, five or six guys wealthy? How does this world work, man? I bet you anything that I have to believe in the Illuminati, and therefore I probably have to believe that it's all run by Jews, right?
Boy, I'll tell you, you are a very, very warped individual, Phil.
Well, isn't that what it is, man? Isn't that what all of you nuts think? I mean, if you're buying into the government dropping the big net on all of us because of the NSA, this, that, and Eric Snowden and the rest of these jackasses, and they're doing this for some purpose, of course, we don't know what it really is, but it must have something to do with a cabal, a minority of people operating some cabal of power. And I would have to say that most of this fantasy, most of this hallucination has been drawn from the Jews take over the world Illuminati banker thing. Is that it?
Forget it.
I thought that was very rude of you, Phil.
You didn't give him a chance to talk. I gave him a chance to talk. I gave him a chance to talk. And he talked. And,
Yeah, he brought up the Jews and everything. That's when he got all offended and everything.
Well, isn't that just too bad? You know, here's the thing, man. If you want to buy into that, if you want to buy into now's the time that the government has all of our addresses and our phone numbers and...
Quit being sarcastic, Phil.
No, I'm not. No, I won't. Now's the time. The government has our addresses and they have all that. Now's the time they're going to spring it and take us down and we're all going to be enslaved. All right. So now, what is this world that it will be existing? We're all enslaved. There's a handful of people that have the power. All of this stuff, I'm telling you, comes straight out of the turn of the 20th century paranoia first launched by the Protocols of Zion, which were written by the Russian secret police in order to slander the Jewish people and create a reason to keep the czar in power, keep the poor people down, and scapegoat Jews, as they've been doing, or as they did, for centuries, up until the Holocaust of World War II. You know what? I don't have any patience for anybody that's buying into that, so there you go.
Well, you'll be happy to know that Don Mixa just called. I just spoke with him. He said that you were just running your big fat mouth and wouldn't let him talk. He'd like to be on another time to state his case.
I gave him a chance to state his case. He never stated his case.
Yeah, I said he was talking about, you know, them, you know, they're going to take over.
Look, this nut just said that there are people in control of the nuclear arsenal of America who are hearing voices from another dimension. Okay?
Well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, okay.
Well...
No, that's fine. Oh, wait a minute. When you go, yeah, okay, that leaves the impression with the audience that you think I'm a drooling idiot. Yes or no?
I don't think you're a drooling idiot, but...
I drool?
There may be drool, yes.
Boy.
Right, we're going to be right back here. I'm sorry, General, but you asked me to, you know, you asked a question. I'm giving you the answer. It's world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And we're going to be right back here with more as we close out this just fantastic night of information. All right, Phil Hendry Show here, philhendryshow.com. So I got all kinds of people pissed off at me now. I just know this.
I know Nikki is very upset with you because she, like I...
What is this? Is this... Some music is what it is.
I know it's music. My question for you, Phil, as a member of the United States military, I, of course, have great faith in our Constitution. I have great faith in the wisdom of the civilian leadership of our country. I don't doubt that much of the paranoia that is... as you call it, paranoia, suffered by the American populace now, is directed at the fear there would be a military takeover. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, probably. But what difference does it make, you know?
What do you mean, what difference does it make? It makes a great... If you're a military coup as opposed to a foreign takeover, you see, would mean something different from a foreign takeover.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks there's a foreign takeover. It could be a military coup. It could be a... Who cares, you know? But my point is, what difference does it make if it's a military coup or not? My point is simply this. Who in their craziest, wildest hallucination believes that the American people are ripe for a totalitarian dragnet to fall over top of them and stifle them in their freedoms? Only the most, I really believe, only the most uninformed, only the most historically ignorant, only the most disconnected from reality. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of stuff that has to be happening for people to believe that. And if this is a prevailing fear, then I've been wrong. I mean, I thought that by and large, as a people, we're pretty... sensible. I think when you know, you put it all together, yeah, there's a few nuts, but most of us are right down the middle with it, you know, and we're, well, let's just wait, you know, just work hard and get through it and keep our eyes open. That's how you live your life. But, you know, if we're talking about this guy Snowden having opened up a real vein of fear, you don't know anything about how things work, either psychologically, either realistically and politically, sociologically or historically. The fact that there is an amazing web of communication in America is no surprise. It has been something that we've been working on as a government, as a military, as a people, as a civilian reality for a long, long time. We've looked forward to it. We've enabled it. We've celebrated it. We've been excited about it. And you can't tell me, because I won't believe you, that nobody during that entire period that we were building the internet and building the Wi-Fi and building the smartphones and building this communication, you can't tell me that we didn't have brain surgeons sitting out there and saying, wow, you know something, with all this technology, the government can spy on us. You know, that was a given. But the very first Apple ad... For the Apple computer, the laptop, the personal, you know, I hate to call it a PC because I know it's not, but the first consumer-friendly Apple computer in 1984 utilized the imagery of 1984, of the Big Brother and of the lady coming in throwing the Olympic hammer and smashing the screen and all the robots are free, right? So we knew that we were entering a world of hyper communication and information. You can't tell me the guys that like the Gateses of the world, like the Jobs of the world, and anybody else that was using a computer then or was alive then wasn't aware. It was 1984. It was the year that George Orwell had put on the cover of his book as a symbol of the totalitarian takeover of humanity in some distant future.
You can't tell me that we have not been aware of what we have been doing all along. Now, just because you're brain dead doesn't necessarily mean that the things that are happening in the progression of society are evil. Because you're dumb doesn't mean the new information that you're getting is an evil and destructive and soul-decaying force. It just means you're dumb and uninformed. Gee, I didn't know that the Patriot Act said all of that. Well, what do you want me to tell you? Well, now I've decided, you in all of your wisdom now, 5 years, 6, 7, 8, 9 years later, now all of a sudden you woke up. And now you're going to tell me the Patriot Act, there's two presidents, one of them a Republican, the other one a Democrat, one of them pretty conservative, the other one considered progressive, and they both agree on it. It's something we wanted. It's something the American people demanded after 9/11. Now all of a sudden, we forgot all about 9/11 and tracking all these bad guys, and now we want to make sure that some jackass is sitting in Hong Kong and Moscow, wherever he is, just spilling all the beans all over the world because this is all of a sudden evil because we all of a sudden just woke up. Because we all of a sudden just woke up from our nap.
Well, I've never been more insulted in my life.
Why you?
Because I was napping.
All right.
Think about that, Phil. Think about the people you've insulted tonight.
We'll see you tomorrow night, folks.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow night, folks. What a smart ass. Think about it, Phil. Think about it long and hard, Mr. Henry.
Long and hard?
How dare you?